Aikatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Aikatra AI. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're stepping away from the usual grind, you know, taking a look at something maybe more fundamental than spreadsheets or deadlines.
Yeah, we're talking about how to actually live, really live, before time runs out.
Exactly. And our main source for this is Mitch Albom's incredibly moving memoir, Tuesdays with Maury.
And it's so much more than just a sad story about someone dying. It's like this structured set of lessons on what gives life meaning.
Right. In a world that's often, let's face it, obsessed with external stuff, status, money, keeping up this book tackles that that inner emptiness a lot of people feel.
That sense that maybe our priorities are off, that we're chasing the wrong things.
Precisely. We're always rushing, aren't we?
Yeah.
Prioritizing the hustle, maybe over connection, over love. And Maury Schwartz, Mitch's old professor, he just challenges all of that.
He offers this final, beautiful course on how to reorient yourself. So our mission today is really to unpack that wisdom.
Yeah, distill Maury's final teachings on things like facing mortality, being emotionally honest.
And that big difference between just, you know, selling your time for a paycheck and actually spending your life meaningfully.
So to really get Maury's impact, we should probably start with the student, right? Mitch Albom himself.
Good point. Because when the story starts, Mitch is basically the embodiment of the very world Maury is critiquing.
He was, and still is, this hugely successful sports columnist. Think Detroit Free Press, ESPN, traveling constantly, deadlines.
Totally immersed in that high-achieving, fast-paced culture, almost grounding in it, you could say.
And that's why it works so well, I think. Mitch is like us, or many of us anyway. He's the stand-in for the reader.
The cynical, maybe slightly lost professional.
Yeah, who'd forgotten those ideals he had back in college. So his transformation throughout the book, that's the journey Maury hopes we'll all consider.
And the book itself, how it came about, that's also part of the lesson, isn't it?
How so?
Well, it wasn't initially some grand plan for a bestseller. It started more simply as an act of love, really, to help Maury cover his massive medical bills after the ALS diagnosis.
Ah, right. So even its creation was about connection and helping someone, not just ambition.
Exactly. It sort of lived the message from the start.
Okay, so let's unpack this final course. What's the setup?
So the book basically follows 14 weekly meetings every Tuesday between Mitch and Maury, his old sociology professor.
And Maury is, at this point, dying from ALS amyotrophic lateral sclerosis.
Right. And the book doesn't shy away from the physical reality of that. You see the progression, the decline, how Maury becomes more and more dependent. It's unflinching.
But that's set against.
Against this incredible, like, spark in Maury. His mind is sharp. His spirit is vibrant. His capacity for love and connection actually seems to grow as his body fails.
So he literally turns his dying process into his last lecture series.
Mm. Pretty much. A curriculum covering the big stuff. Society, money, fear, regret, death, family.
And crucially, love and forgiveness. It's like a masterclass taught right from the edge.
And the main point isn't theoretical. It's intensely practical. Maury argues that a meaningful life isn't about what you achieve on the outside.
It's about internal purpose.
Exactly. Rooted in love, community, accepting yourself. And his big idea, the core of it maybe, is that if you learn how to accept death,
then you figure out how to live.
That's it. Understanding mortality gives you the clarity you need.
Okay, let's dig into some specific Tuesdays. The first Tuesday, talking about culture, society, money.
Yeah, Maury tells Mitch he needs to reject a lot of the popular culture. He calls it poison.
Strong word. Why poison?
Because, he argues, it pushes materialism, fame, constant competition, things that ultimately make people feel bad about themselves, feel inadequate or isolated.
So what's the alternative? Just drop out.
Not exactly. His advice is, if the culture isn't serving you, don't buy into it. Create your own culture. A personal subculture built on your values.
Like what?
Like love, community, awareness, connection, whatever truly matters to you, not what ads tell you should matter.
Okay. But someone might say, rejecting the culture is easy for a tenured professor. What about people genuinely struggling just to get by? Isn't focusing on money sometimes necessary?
That's a really fair challenge. And Maury doesn't say money is irrelevant. What he critiques is making money, or wealth, the measure of a person's worth.
The equation, wealth equals value.
Right. He says material things just can't substitute for real human connection, for tenderness, for purpose. Mm. He pours Mitch and us to find work that has meaning.
Meaning. not just money.
Yeah, because meaning is the kind of wealth that lasts.
That search for meaning.
Mm-hmm.
It leads pretty directly to the fourth Tuesday, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The discussion about death.
Oh, absolutely. Morrissey's death not as this terrifying thing to avoid thinking about, but as a vital teacher.
His big line, once you learn how to die, you learn how to live.
That's the one. Accepting that life is finite, it focuses you. It helps you stop sweating the small stuff, you know, and figure out what's really important.
But he wasn't suggesting we should be emotionless about it, right? I mean, he must have felt grief, fear.
Oh, definitely not stoicism. His approach was actually very practical, almost like a modern mindfulness in a way.
How so?
He'd allow himself time each morning, a set period, to really feel the losses, the sadness, the anger about his decline. He'd cry, maybe rage a bit.
Okay.
But then, and this is key, he'd stop. He'd consciously choose not to wallow in it all day. He wouldn't let the grief define his entire existence.
That sounds like detachment, but not in a cold way. More like experiencing the feeling fully, but then stepping back.
Exactly. You acknowledge it, you let it watch over you, but you don't let it hijack your whole day, your ability to connect or find joy in what's left.
And speaking of things that hijack joy,
Regret
and resentment must be high on that list.
Which brings us neatly to the third and 12th Tuesdays, regrets and forgiveness. Maury talks about this tension of opposites we all feel. That pull between what we deeply value, what our heart wants, and what society or maybe our ego pushes us towards.
And that tension makes us put off the important things.
Often, yeah.
Oh.
Especially matters of the heart. We procrastinate on apologies, on reaching out.
And he had personal experience with this, didn't he?
He did. He shared a really painful story about a friend. They had a falling out. Pride got in the way and Maury cut him off.
And the friend died.
Yeah, before they could reconcile. That regret clearly haunted him, and it fueled his urgent advice, forgive yourself, forgive others.
Let go of the ego, the bitterness, before it's too late.
Because holding on to it only poisons you.
So moving from regrets to where fulfillment is found, the 5th and 13th Tuesdays focus on relationships.
Absolutely. Especially family. Maury is crystal clear on this. He says, there is no foundation if it isn't the family.
The ultimate bedrock.
For security, for unconditional love. Especially, he notes, when other things start to fade, health, career, independence, family is what holds you.
And this idea ties into that beautiful moment when Mitch asks him about his perfect day.
Ah, yes. That's such a telling part of the book. Because you expect something grand, right?
Yeah, like travel the world, eat amazing food, meet famous people. I don't know.
But Maury's perfect day, it's incredibly simple. Mm. Nice breakfast, a walk in nature maybe. Lunch with friends, some dancing, a good night's sleep.
Wow. It's ordinary.
Completely. And that's the revelation, isn't it? The deepest joys aren't in huge achievements or bucket lists. They're right here, in simple connections, in being present.
Okay, so let's zoom out a bit. What are the big overarching themes weaving through all these Tuesdays?
Well, number one has to be love is life's purpose. Maury literally says, love is the only rational act.
Rational. Why rational?
Because everything else, chasing status, money, power, it's ultimately irrational because it doesn't lead to lasting fulfillment. Giving and receiving love, that's what sustains us. Maury felt that profoundly as he became more dependent.
Which makes you wonder, why are we often so afraid of vulnerability, of dependency? Why is it hard to let love come in, as he puts it?
It's a great question. Our culture values self-sufficiency so highly, doesn't it? Maybe we see needing others as weakness, and it blocks that fundamental human need.
Okay, theme two. Dignity and aging and dependency. This feels really countercultural, too.
Totally. We fear aging. We fear needing help. Maury reframes it. He sees aging not just as decline, but as growth accumulating experience, wisdom. He wouldn't trade his age for youth.
And he found peace in being dependent.
He did. He saw it as a chance to receive love, almost like returning to the unconditional care we get as infants. It forces you to question that obsession with independence. Maybe accepting care gracefully is its own kind of strength.
And theme three seems crucial, the power of presence.
Yes. You see Mitch initially showing up distracted, right? Thinking about work calls, checking his watch.
We've all been there or done that.
Exactly. And Maury gently, persistently teaches him to just be there. Put the phone away. Listen fully. Give the person in front of you your undivided attention.
Because that simple act says...
It says, you matter. Right now, you are the most important thing. That kind of presence, Mori believed, is where true connection and fulfillment happen, not in multitasking or planning the next thing.
The book is just packed with these memorable lines, these little summaries of his wisdom.
Oh, absolutely. Aphorisms, you could call them.
Let's highlight a few key ones. We've mentioned it, but it bears repeating. Once you learn how to die, you learn how to live.
It's the foundation, using that knowledge of our limited time to live intentionally, to focus on what truly counts.
And then there's the comforting idea. Death ends a life, not a relationship.
Yeah, the love, the memories, the influence, they continue. They transcend physical presence.
And that core philosophy about connection. The most important thing in life is to learn how to give out love and to let it come in.
That reciprocity, it's not just about giving. You have to be open to receiving, too, that vulnerability again.
And finally, his challenge to us regarding society. The culture we have does not make people feel good about themselves. If the culture doesn't work, don't buy it.
Such a powerful call for conscious choice. Define your own values. Don't just absorb what's being sold to you.
So these are profound ideas, but Mori was practical. How do we actually apply this stuff? Application one could be like a personal life audit.
Definitely. Look at your calendar. Look at where your time actually goes. Does it match what you say you value? If you say family is number one, does your schedule reflect that?
Ouch. That can be a tough mirror to look into.
It can, but it's the first step. Maybe reallocating even a little time from the hustle to relationships or things that feed your soul.
Okay, application two. Using Mori's method for emotional resilience.
Right. When you feel overwhelmed by anxiety or grief or stress, try his technique. Allow yourself to feel it fully for a bit. Acknowledge it.
But then
observe it. Detach from it slightly. Don't let it run the whole show. It's like saying, okay, fear, I see you, I feel you, but you don't get to drive the car all day.
Yeah.
It takes practice, but it's powerful.
And application three, learning from Mori's big regret, proactive reconciliation.
Yes. Don't wait. Don't let pride or awkwardness stop you. If there's someone you need to forgive or apologize to or just reconnect with, do it now.
Reach out before it's too late. That unresolved stuff is heavy baggage.
The heaviest.
So wrapping up, what's one thing that really stands out for you from revisiting Mori's lessons?
For me, it's probably still the answer to the perfect day question, just how simple it was. It's a profound reminder that real joy, deep fulfillment, isn't usually found in the extraordinary headline-grabbing stuff.
It's in the ordinary.
Yeah, in connection, in presence, in community, in just simple human warmth. It sort of takes the pressure off, you know? You don't need to conquer the world to have a meaningful life.
That's beautiful. For me, I think the biggest takeaway is how Mori used his own dying process as his final, most powerful teaching tool.
He turned vulnerability into wisdom.
Exactly. He showed that embracing vulnerability, facing mortality head on, doesn't have to be just terrifying. It can be clarifying, even liberating. The book feels like this practical, gentle guide for shifting from a life maybe driven by fear.
Fear of death, fear of dependency, fear of not measuring up.
Right. Shifting from that towards a life lived more in, I don't know, celebration. Celebration of the time we have, the people we love right now.
A truly profound guide for living.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Katra Foundation.